Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. The executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow, Robin Collier, known locally in Mendocino County for her skills in making excellent cheesecake, is the address on this edition of Radio Curious. Robin Collier and I visited in the studios of Radio Curious on October 5th, 2009, and discussed the organization and background of Mendocino County Tomorrow, as well as the corporation which funds it, Developers Diversified Realty, and their campaign in favor of Measure A, and who would pay for the consequences of anything that's built on the old Masonite site if Measure A passes. I began by asking Robin Collier to explain her role in Mendocino County Tomorrow as its executive director. Robin Collier, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
So, Robin, I understand that you are the executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow.
Yes.
What does that mean? What's your job description?
I have many duties, mostly is to recruit membership. Right now, that's our big push.
And what does membership mean?
Well, I brought with us the mission statement and purpose statement of Mendocino County Tomorrow, and I think that would be best read. Mission statement of Mendocino County Tomorrow is a nonprofit local organization dedicated to promoting responsible community growth by striving to balance and facilitate collaborative ideas and solutions. The purpose statement of Mendocino County Tomorrow is to create and sustain a high level of community involvement in community affairs that impact growth within Mendocino County. Through dialogue with community leaders, elected officials, business owners, and the general citizenry, Mendocino County Tomorrow will provide a forum for its members' interests concerning housing, land and water use, development, downtown revitalization, tax revenue sharing, and transportation. Mendocino County Tomorrow is dedicated to increasing membership interest, awareness, and education, and to making a profound difference in the outcome of proposed growth changes countywide through participation in the legislative process.
Robin, I was looking at the website for Mendocino County Tomorrow in the area about membership, and I'm curious about how membership is determined, since on the website it says, Mendocino County Tomorrow reserves the right to refuse membership to anyone.
We have not come up against that. We put it in there as some kind of way to distinguish between serious people and people that just wanted to come in and fight us every step of the way, but that hasn't happened. And I think that it's just a disclaimer that we were told should go in there.
Who told you?
I don't know. I was not the executive director at that time.
What kind of a group is Mendocino County Tomorrow in terms of a business organization? I read on the September 25th, 2009 filing with the county elections office that it's listed as a nonprofit group.
Yes, we are.
But that's the only place I could find it listed. I looked throughout the California Secretary of State.
Yes, we are in the process of filing. The lawyer has all the paperwork. There was some confusion about our PAC.
By PAC, you mean Political Action Committee.
Yes. We decided that we wanted to have a PAC going forward. We haven't had the need for one. So we're redoing all our paperwork. I'm the newly appointed executive director. So we are redoing all our paperwork, and it's in transit right now.
So currently, it's not an official nonprofit organization.
Yes, it is. It's official, but we just have the letter. We don't have all the paperwork back yet.
The letter from whom?
I don't know that.
The only donor, and this is again looking at the September 25th statement, is DDR, who's as of September 19th has donated over $500,000.
There's a difference between Mendocino County Tomorrow and the Yes on A campaign. And what you're talking about are the donations to the campaign, not to Mendocino County Tomorrow.
What I'm talking about includes a listing of Mendocino County Tomorrow in the county filings.
Well, then we have many members, so I'm not clear why you would only have DDR as our donor.
That's my question. I'm not clear either, but the filings that were included for the Yes on A campaign were, one, signed by a person named Stan Hoffman, the earlier ones, he's listed as the treasurer, and the assistant treasurer is a person named Ellie Abdoli. Do you know either of those people?
I don't, and I think those questions would be better posed to DDR, Jeff Adams.
Okay, well, he's not here, so you're the only one I can ask. I did a little research, and Stan Hoffman is a vice president of DDR, listed as the treasurer for Yes on Measure A, Citizens to Bring Jobs, Tax Dollars, and Local Shopping to Mendocino County, a coalition being led by Mendocino County Tomorrow, with major funding by DDR, doing business as Mendocino LP. And that was filed September 24th with County Clerk here in Mendocino County.
DDR is our largest member. They're a sustainable member, but I'm not privy to their campaign contributions.
When you say largest member or sustainable member, you mean of Mendocino County Tomorrow?
Yes.
So you have corporate members as well as individual members?
Yes, we have individual members, small business. We have two types of business memberships, and then we have sustainable memberships.
Are there other sustainable members?
Not at the moment, but I'm working on it.
Who are you looking for?
It's not for public. I have to respect their privacy right now. Once they become a member, I'd be happy to disclose.
I couldn't find a list of members on the Mendocino County Tomorrow membership list.
True.
How come?
Well, there's two reasons for that. First of all, it's privileged information amongst the members. They have to give their permission to be published on the website. And you can only access that part of the website once you're a member yourself.
Okay. The address that's given for much of the work that's being done by Mendocino County Tomorrow and DDR is the old firehouse on North State Street, 1800 North State Street. That's the old firehouse south of Mendo Mill and just north of the Holiday Express Motel. And it shows there's a James Riley Bond. And I don't know if that's a business, a bond company. Who is James Riley Bond?
He's in charge of the campaign.
So tell us about the campaign. I've received 7 color glossy mailers in the past couple of weeks. Is he the one that's creating those?
It's a collaborative effort that goes into that. We have a public relations firm that also helps write and distribute those.
Who is the public relations firm?
Rob Muehlrath.
They're in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
They've been involved in other Mendocino County public relations activities.
I believe so.
So what consultation is it Mr. Riley or Mr. Bond?
We call him J.R.
J.R. So his last name is Bond?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of consultation does he provide?
I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to ask him.
Well, Robin Collier, Executive Director of Mendocino County Tomorrow, let's move on and discuss the specific plan that was proposed by DDR for the old Masonite property. And there are certain assumptions. The assumption is that the project will be completed. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't assume anything. That's my wish and my hope and my desire, yes.
The reason why I say it looks like the project will be built, and that's an assumption, is due to the detailed descriptions and the 7 or so mailings that I've received and the phone calls that I've personally received.
Well, we don't assume anything. We feel like we're always out there trying to educate and inform the voters of what they're really voting for.
The specific plan says, quote, "The exhibits shown are conceptual and do not reflect what may actually be constructed on the site. The actual development of the site is subject to change based on market and regional demands." You've seen that?
Yes.
What does that mean?
My interpretation of what that means is that since DDR will be dealing with more than one retailer, and because the nature of the anchor stores are given their land, they take over their land, DDR will no longer own the land that they're building their building on, that they are responsible for the design and development of their own properties. And it would not be accurate for DDR to say that they'll go with a certain design without having a lease signed. It would be inappropriate. So it's to protect DDR so they're not called later on liars or having misled the public.
Well, how come if that's the position that that's not laid out front and center? It's actually in the small print deep into the documents, 315 or so pages.
Well, I think that the reasons make a lot of sense. Anyone in business will tell you it makes a lot of sense. I feel like it's something that our opposition has clamped its teeth on and used to create fear in the voters so that they won't vote for the project.
What makes a lot of sense?
That they would have a disclaimer like that, that they can't know 2 years before something's built what it's going to look like. They have to rely on a collaborative effort that happens with their retailers and the people that sign their leases and build their buildings.
In this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Robin Collier, a longtime Ukiah resident who has fame, as I know well, as the Cheesecake Mama and the Cheesecake Lady, two wonderful little enterprises that you started, and is now the executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Robin, a couple of minutes ago, you said that DDR would sell the land.
The arrangements that they have with their anchor stores is that they gift or sell the retailer the land, they develop the project. The reason that Costco and Target are such good anchor stores is because of their environmental policy, their green policy, their employment history with people. They don't pay minimum wage. I feel like there's enormous amount of different objections on our opposition's part. Some are saying no big box. Some are saying yes, Costco, but not there. So it's hard to get a feel for what the opposition is really opposing here.
You mentioned Costco and Target as anchor stores. Mm-hmm. Is there a written agreement with either of those?
There are letters of intent.
What do those letters of intent say?
I don't have them with me. I don't want to quote or misquote, but it is their intention to go into this site should the initiative pass.
Subject to market conditions.
I don't know that.
So let me see if I understand you correctly. You're saying that if the initiative passes, Costco and Target intend to buy a portion or some or all of the property?
You could say that. I'm not at liberty to speak or the authority to speak on the percentage or anything like that, but that is my understanding, yes.
That they would buy some of the property?
Yes.
How come that hasn't been said?
It has been said. This is part of the communication gap.
But it doesn't come out in the mailers that I've received and the phone calls that come to my home from people who are promoting the project.
I can't answer that, Barry. You know, you said that you've gotten these glossy mailers, and I'm looking at the no on Measure A flyer that came and all of the innuendo and accusations that are in this mailer and how many of them are mistruths and lies. And we've put on town hall meetings so that the voters can be informed and know the truth, so there's not a bunch of fear mongering going on. And it's very personally upsetting to me that Seoul has opted to take this path.
Which path is that?
The path of instilling fear in the voters and spouting mistruths.
What specifically is a mistruth that you have? And I see that you're holding a mailer that was sent out about a week ago by the No on A committee.
Mm-hmm.
What is a mistruth in there from your perspective?
I think it's a mistruth that there's special privileges to evade environmental review and ignore state planning laws. I think it's a mistruth that if Measure A passes, the developer will have no obligation to fix the serious traffic, air quality, and environmental problems this property will cause. And that's a quote. When the problems occur, taxpayers from every corner of Mendocino County will pay to fix them, not the developer. That's a lie.
Can you be specific? As I understand it, when zoning is changed through the initiative process, euphemistically called ballot box zoning, the developer has no obligation to participate economically in the mitigation. Are you telling me that that's a mistruth?
It's my understanding that what changes when the initiative is brought forth to the people is that largely what changes is the lead agency, that it takes it out of the Board of Supervisors' hands. Now, mind you, the Board of Supervisors have had two or three occasions to review and approve this application and be the lead agency. They've opted not to process the application because of the incomplete UVAP, which incidentally has cost our taxpayers over about $500,000 while we await the UVAP plan. That the development going forward has to be subject to the individual agencies so that they will be subject to the same environmental impact standards by each agency. So in order for Millview or LAFCO, we'll have to review the water, the sewer treatment plant will have to review the air quality, toxic substances, they'll all be involved. Caltrans is involved. There's a total EIR on the Caltrans before it's passed. DDR is not looking to avoid or evade any of the process. They can't by law.
Can you cite specific laws that support the position that you're taking?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I said this is my understanding.
Okay.
I'm also reading in Section 8 of the specific plan where DDR repeatedly says that they will pay for the infrastructure requirements and mitigation, and they have been saying it at every forum.
That also says they'll pay what they're required to pay, and that also says that the plans are subject to change, they're conceptual only, according to market and regional demands. And a market demand, when you're working with something like DDR, a enormous, if you will, shopping mall developer that owns lots of properties throughout the nation and many places in Europe, they could sell the property or not. Their market demands affect their corporation, not our community.
If they opt to sell the property once this initiative is passed, whoever buys it will be required. This becomes the law.
Not the specific plan. That says it's subject to change in itself.
But they still have to go through the same process with the agencies involved in the mitigations.
They go through a process, but they're not financially obligated to participate in the mitigation. In the 7 traffic lights that they propose.
5. 2 already exist.
Well, it'd be a total of 7.
Mm-hmm.
Between Ford Street and Orr Springs Road, those costs would not be covered by this project.
Well, they are now. DDR has said repeatedly that they're paying for the infrastructure in and off-site.
Well, I understand they've said it, but the law doesn't require that they do that, and it says they are only going to pay what they're required to pay. But let's move on and take a step back. Robin, I understand that you're not an attorney, but I'm asking you these questions because you are the executive director of the proponent of the initiative, Mendocino County Tomorrow. And if you don't know the answers, that's fine. A lot of us don't know a lot of things, and it's certainly fair to say you don't know.
Well, I can't quote case law, and I can't quote laws, and I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. And I am here representing Mendocino County Tomorrow, and we have other issues that we want to get involved with in the county, and this is not the exclusive thing that we're dealing with. And that's my main message here today.
Okay, well, I'm interested in those other issues, but I want to visit something that you said a little while ago, in which I believe you said the supervisors have not dealt with the application. On August 17th, 2005, and on September 28th, 2005, there were letters written by the planning department saying essentially that the plans that were submitted were incomplete and requests for specific additions to those plans, which never came. So when you say they were never dealt with by the county and the county said, we need more information, to me that shows a contradiction.
I understand.
And your response would be?
It is my understanding that it is the normal course of doing business that an application be deemed incomplete so that it keeps the clock from ticking, because as soon as the planning department deems an application complete, They have exactly 30 days in which to respond. And DDR had been asked to delay because of the election, because they didn't want the focus to be taken off Measure B at the time.
Which election is that?
The election of the supervisors.
The one that occurred in 08?
Mm-hmm. And then their checks for the EIR and the application were returned. So in my estimation and in my floodlight view of our city and county government, I feel like the misplaced hostility should be pointed to our government officials who put off dealing with project after project in this fashion because the UVAP is incomplete.
So you're saying the fact that the application that was submitted by DDR for this project back in 05 was determined to be incomplete does not carry any weight, and therefore they chose to go to the initiative process.
What I know to be true is that DDR had three applications in at three different times, and they were either ignored or sent back as a result of the UVAP being incomplete and there being a moratorium, and or that they didn't want it to overshadow Measure B and the election.
Well, I find that somewhat surprising in light of the fact that the attorneys for DDR is a law firm named Nielsen, Merksamer, Paranello, Mueller, and Naylor, and they tout themselves as being highly regarded, this is a quote, for their expertise in political lobbying and election law, both in California and throughout the nation. It would seem to me that if they wanted to submit a completed application, they could easily do so.
There was a moratorium on the applications. They would not have processed the application.
Well, that's new information to me. I understand that's what your position is.
We can refer to the August 18th, 2008 letter. Quote, there is a general operative policy for the county to not process general plan amendments during the time frame that the Ukiah Valley Area Plan is being developed. As I'm sure you're aware, this project will be a high-profile project.
That would not preclude a completed application from being submitted.
It was not in the interest of the county to have a completed application at that time. They would not have considered it.
That's your conclusion. You're not
Yes.
reading from the letter at that point.
That's my conclusion.
Okay. Well, let's move on and shift gears just a little bit if we can. About 11 years ago, you were the campaign manager for Dan Hamburg when he ran for governor of California on the Green Party.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if your personal beliefs about political action and so forth are the same now as they were then, or whether you've changed your personal beliefs.
I have definitely changed and grown older and wiser, I would hope. I have the same heart that I had then. I have the same healthy cynicism about corporations as I had then. I look at this project with all of those same beliefs, and I ask all of the questions that I need in order to put my stamp on this and to have my vote of confidence for this and my vote in November on this, and feel like the county is in dire straits, that this is a corporation that is making good on their word thus far to me and my group. We believe strongly that it'll bring in jobs to this area, much needed jobs. We believe that they came in here and listened to the people in 21 meetings and went back to the drawing board and came here with a specific plan that heard the voices of Mendocino County. I respect that. I respect that they're not using taxpayer money for the infrastructure. And most importantly for me, as someone that was involved in closing Masonite, I believe that that place has to be cleaned up. I think it's awful. And I think that we don't have the luxury of turning down a corporation that wants to clean up that site and build something there that's much needed. We have numbers and studies and conclusive evidence that there are millions of dollars going down the highway every year. We want to keep them here. We want the tax revenues. We want the sales tax. We want the redevelopment money.
The 21 meetings that you mentioned, those were the meetings that a group called Fair and Powerful Communications set up about a year and a half ago?
No, it was way before a year and a half ago.
but still from that group, Fair and Powerful Communications?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. And you say that we don't have the luxury to turn down a corporation that wants to clean up the site.
It's enormously expensive.
So my question is, isn't that comparable to someone who says, it's time for me to get married, and here comes a rich person, I'll marry that person, even though there could be some other problems?
Absolutely not, because it's not in and of itself its own entity. It's part of a process.
I don't follow you.
Well, for someone to come in here and say, we're going to clean up this site, and this is what we're going to put here, I think it's holistic. I don't think it's one or the other.
It seems to me that's contradictory to what they say in the specific plan, that it's conceptual and subject to change according to market demands. When they're such a large corporation, their market may demand that they sell this.
My feeling, my personal feeling, and I'm speaking for myself here, I don't see the difference if they clean up the site and then sell it. I couldn't care less.
Except that whoever owns it is not subject to the same planning process as the rest of us are on projects that we as individuals or we as a corporation might choose to build.
That only depends if they sell it if the initiative passes. There's two scenarios.
If the initiative passes, it's going to be worth more money than if it doesn't pass.
But they're still bound by the initiative.
Only subject to market demands, according to their words.
Well, according to their words, this project started out as 800,000 square feet of retail space and has since been reduced to 500. I mean, you can't win, Barry. You call it a mega mall and they reduce the size and it's still called a mega mall. This is a shopping center. This is one and two phases of a four-phase plan. This is enabling light industry to come in there to a site that's already cleaned up, that they probably would not be able to afford to clean up and then open up. And for me, this is what the county needs. It's its own stimulus.
It's called mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
And mixed use can be across the board. It's not limited, again, according to what the initiative says to the given proposals. It says including, which could add to or delete from various types of uses. My question is, how do you define mixed use?
The way that I see it, mixed use is defined as light industry, retail, entertainment, affordable housing. My idea for the affordable housing part of this phase is to turn it into student housing using redevelopment money. I've already gone to the college to start discussions about this kind of thing. Later on down the road, this is something Mendocino County Tomorrow would like to be working toward. The college is not currently interested in building housing on their site, and this would be the perfect place for students to be living. And this is within the redevelopment area.
As I mentioned earlier, Robin, in the past few weeks, I've received 7 mailers at my home. It's 4 weeks between now and when the absentee ballots have to be returned to the voting office. How many more mailers or communications can I anticipate receiving?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I've received a lot of phone calls wanting to know my position. And in fact, one asked if I would be willing to endorse. Should I expect to receive more phone calls?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Some of the people asked for me by name. And I said, can you tell me who you're calling from or who you're calling in behalf of? And they said, no. Do you know why?
No, I don't.
Do you know how they obtained my name?
No, I don't.
Well, Robin Collier, Executive Director of Mendocino County Tomorrow, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious.
It's my pleasure.
And before we close, two questions. One is, is there a particular issue or idea or philosophy that you have in that you carry with you or that you've learned recently that you support?
Well, I think that it's pretty much summed up in our mission statement for Mendocino County Tomorrow, that I, at this point in my life and in my life in this community, I would like to see more collaboration, more working together, less divisive, adversarial, pitting one opinion against the other. Seoul has continually considered themselves the home team, And I purport that we are the home team, that we're talking about citizens that care. And I feel like if everyone has a lot of caring, there should be a place to come together to move forward with some kind of growth in this county.
And is there a book that you've read recently that you could recommend?
I read Water for Elephants. I highly recommend it. It's terrific.
Well, Robin Collier, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
Robin Collier is the executive director of Mendocino County Tomorrow and a longtime local resident of Ukiah and a purveyor of excellent cheesecake. The book she recommends is Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen. This interview was recorded in the studios of Radio Curious in Ukiah, California on October 5th, 2009. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format. To get a copy, visit our website for further details. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org. And the phone is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.